Welcome to Chapter 28. We finally made it, the last chapter. I want to use this chapter to kind of go back and revisit Case. Last chapter we discussed a little bit about going beyond the word level to the phrase, clause, sentence, paragraph, and discourse levels, and just introduce those kind of concepts. Here I want to go back to what we've already done and go deeper into what we've already done. I want to look at the genitive and the dative case, and I want to explore the different nuances of those cases. These cases have a wide variety of usages, and I want to explore just some of those usages just to give you a taste of the next level of Greek where you really get into and really dig into the language. Now that you know the basic forms, now you're ready to dig into some of the nuances that underlie these various cases. The dative and genitive are the most diverse, and so I figured we'd pick those first. Now let's begin with the Lord's Prayer. This will be our last time with this, and then we'll jump into the genitive and dative cases. Say this first part of the Lord's Prayer with me. Pater heimon ha en tois uranois hagias theto ta anamasu. Altheto he basileia su genetheto ta thelema su. And now the second part. Hos en ura no kai epiges. Tan ar tan he mon tan epiusian das he means he maran. And say this third part of the Lord's Prayer with me. Kai afes he mean ta afe lema ta he mon. Hos kai he mesa feka mentoisa fe letai se mon. And now the final section. Kai me eisen en kes hemas eis perasman ala rusai hemas apa tu pane ru. Hey. We've been away from the cases for a long time now after exploring the verbs and the moods and all that stuff. Let's go back for a quick review of the five cases in Greek. The nominative has been used as the subject of the sentence. Sometimes there's been a predicate nominative with an is-type verb where the nominative is used on the other side of the verb as well as on the front side. But the nominative uses the subject of the sentence generally. The genitive was a case of possession. We usually use the word of with that case. The dative case was a very diverse case. We did the 2x4 at with, and then we also saw that it could be used for the indirect object. We'll explore some of those, what those 2x4 at with, how they nuance things in the sentences in this chapter. The accusative was generally used as the object of the sentence. And the vocative as the case of direct address. Now let's jump back and look at the genitive form and look at it in a kind of a new way, digging deeper into its nuances. All right, let's first look at the genitive case and a couple usages, that one of which we're very familiar with, the possessive. Couple examples here. Tain doxon autou. The autou is in the genitive and it's translated his glory. Tain koilion tais matras is the mother's womb. Possessive, it's her womb. And so it's the tais matras is in the genitive, modifying, telling you whose womb it is, that is possessive. Now another usage that's often found with the genitive is one of the relational genitive. And this is where family relations are described using the genitive. So, for example, we have he mater autu, his mother. It's not possessive. He doesn't possess his mother. It's his mother. There's a relationship there. He's the child. She's the mother. She's his mother. Relationship. Maria he tu klopa. Maria he the wife of klopas. And so the tu klopa is a genitive then that works with the relational use of the genitive. So when you've got brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, aunts and uncles, the genitive is used to trigger those relationships. Now here's a descriptive genitive. Ha zelos tu oiku su. The zeal of your house. The of your house is in the genitive there and modifies and tells the specific direction or describe what type of zeal it is. It's a zeal of your house. And so it specifies, and the genitive often is a specifying case. It's almost kind of an adjectival use here in terms of its modifying and describing in more detail the particular nature of the zelos, the zeal. What zeal? The zeal of your house. So this is called a descriptive genitive, where the genitive modifies the head noun. Another example of this is tu nau tu somatas autu, the temple of his body. So the tu somatas autu of his body modifies and specifies more specifically which temple is being talked about. It's not the temple on Jerusalem, it's the temple tu somatas autu, his body. And so here the genitive is a descriptive genitive, acts almost like an adjectival modifier. The next two are going to be pretty interesting. These are the objective and subjective genitives, and they work with nouns that are kind of like verbals that have a little action to them. And so the subjective genitive, it functions like the subject of the verbal idea. So you can see very clearly, he epithumia tes sarkas, the lust of the flesh, which means then that the flesh, the tes sarkas, is acting like the subject. The flesh lusts. It's not the lusting after flesh, that would be objective genitive, but it's the flesh doing the lusting. And so epithumia is done by the tes sarkas, the flesh lusts. And so this is called a subjective genitive, when the genitive supplies the actor who's working with the noun there, in the subject kind of way. So the lust of the flesh lusts, and therefore it's called a subjective, like the subject of the sentence, subjective genitive. Now, the genitive that goes with the subjective genitive as its partner is the objective genitive. And in this case, the genitive functions like the object of the verbal idea. So, for example, we have he de tu pneumatas blasphemia. But the blasphemy, and then it's of the spirit. Now, is the spirit doing the blasphemy? That would be the subjective genitive. Well, it's clearly not. It's blasphemy and should be translated against the spirit. So the spirit is the object. The blasphemy is done against the spirit. The spirit is the object, not the subject. So this is called an objective genitive. And you can see that it makes a big difference. In the one case, the spirit blasphemes. Don't think so. This one is fairly clear that it's the object. This blasphemy and the spirit is the object of that blasphemy. Blasphemy, then you can translate it, against the spirit. Now, the examples we've given, the lust of the flesh lusts, subjective genitive, and the blasphemy of the spirit is blasphemed against, those are quite clear objective and subjective genitives. When you actually get into the text, it's difficult sometimes to tell whether it's an objective or subjective genitive. So keep these categories distinct, and you'll need to wrestle with the text when you get in particular context, whether it's an objective or subjective genitive, with nouns that have an active or kind of verbal component to it. So the genitive will be used to express the object or the subject of those types of nouns. Now, the genitive, as a dative, will relate to time. And the genitive will specify time within which. So, an example would be, Eilthen pras autan nuktas. He came to him during the night. The nuktas is in the genitive, and it specifies the time within which he came. So you see that the genitive is translated here, then, during the night. So we're going way beyond the of translation that we had initially, during the night, when it's used with time. Now, the genitive can also be used with agency, and it identifies the agent. And in that case, we would translate it by, which is pretty interesting because you remember the 2x4 at width that we use with the dative. So the dative can also be translated by and has an agency aspect as well. We already know that. Here's an example of the genitive with that agency. Esantai pontas didaktoi theou. Esantai is aimi in the future. They shall or will be taught, the didasko there, they will be taught by God, theou. God is the agent doing the teaching. So they will all be taught by God. So we picked up some different ways to translate the genitive. And next we'll try to simplify these. By the way, I should just say at this point, these are not all the different types of genitives. These are just a handful of some of the more frequent ones and some of the ones that are often wrestled with. There are several others, but for this course at this point, let's just get these seven down. And there's a little acrostic on the next slide to help us remember these as options for the nuances of the genitive. Here's a summary of the genitive forms that we've just introduced. We're going to remember it by T.P. Rhodes. And you can make of that whatever you want. But T.P. Rhodes, we've got time. The genitive used is time within which. We use the word during. There's the possessive use of the genitive, God's glory. We use the word of oftentimes for the possessive. The relational genitive, and that's the brother of John, the relational genitive. The objective genitive, the blasphemy of God, where God is the object of the blasphemy. So it's an objective genitive with nouns of action like blasphemy. We have agency, taught by God, and so the genitive is translated by here, giving the agent involved. There's a descriptive genitive, the temple of his body, specifying which temple, in almost an adjectival way, a descriptive genitive. And then there's a subjective genitive, the lust of the flesh. That is, the flesh lusts. And so the flesh is the subject of the verbal noun kind of thing. So what does the lusting? The flesh lusts. So this is our TP Rhodes, and it gives us 7 different ways of looking at the genitive. TP Rhodes. Easy enough? Now let's look at the dative case. The first way that the dative case is taken is the indirect object. You gave the ball to him. The ball is the object. To him is the indirect object. She spoke to him, saying, and so she spoke, what did she say? That's the object, but she spoke to him, that's the indirect object. So we use the word to as a kind of key word to trigger these indirect objects, and the datives are used that way. So the indirect object, no problem. Now there's a dative of interest, or advantage, or disadvantage. In a case of this would be, may thesaurizete humin thesaurus api tes geis. May thesaurizete is do not store, and then here's our dative, for yourselves, for your benefit, for your advantage. In this case, could be for someone's disadvantage, but the humin is put in the dative case, case of advantage. Do not store up for yourselves treasures upon epites geis, upon the earth. So the dative is used, it's called the dative of interest, for advantage and disadvantage of someone you use the dative case. There's also the dative of location, and this is used oftentimes with prepositions en and pros. And eventually, the dative case will die out in modern Greek, being replaced by the preposition en totally, pretty much. Here's an example. Hoi mathetai to ploiario elthon. The disciples came... Elthon, in a small boat. And then we have just the dative case here. You'll notice we don't have the preposition en. We've just got the dative, to ploiario, in a small boat. So remember we had in, on, by, with, at with a 2x4. Here's the in with the dative. So the dative can be taken as in the case of location. Next, we have a dative of instrument, telling the means by which something happened. Kariti este thesosmenoi. You have been saved. Oh, look at that. We've got a este thesosmenoi is a periphrastic for the perfect tense. You have been saved, then by grace. Kariti, by grace, telling the means or the instrument by which you were saved, by grace. We also have datives of time, but the dative of time is different than the genitive of time. The genitive of time was time within which, a certain span. The dative of time is a more of a point of time. So we have kai te hemera te trite gamas agenata. And on the third day, te hemera te trite, on the third day. And so the dative is used to specify a particular point in time. On the third day, there was a wedding. And next we have the dative of sphere. This is an abstract realm of idea, kind of a location, but a location in a more abstract sense. And so we have kai euthus epignous haiesus to pneumati autu. And immediately Jesus knew to pneumati autu, in the sphere of his spirit. And so it's kind of a location, but more generally in the sphere of his spirit, more generalized, more abstract way of looking at it. So the dative of sphere. Now let's just get an easy way to remember all these datives now. Well, how we'll remember them is double I list. So we have the indirect object. He gave it to him. We have a dative of interest. Store not for yourselves. For yourselves. So it's translated for in that case. We have a dative of location. In a small boat. And kind of does double duty with the N preposition. The instrumental is saved by grace. And so grace is the instrument of salvation. There's a dative of sphere. He knew in his spirit, in the sphere of his spirit. And lastly, there's a dative of time. And this talks about point time, not during which or time within which, but a point of time. So on the third day. So this is our double I list. Gives us some options for the dative, and T.P. Rhodes gives us some options for the genitive. The real trick then will be as we read through the text is to work with the genitives, work with the datives, and then suggest which type of genitive, which type of dative is being used in that particular context, and how that type of genitive then impacts how we understand the text. So just trying to point out at this point that there is a whole lot more to learn about Greek. We've just explored the genitive and dative, but you could do the nominative and the accusative this way, the vocative, and then all the tenses also, very many different types of usages of the tenses, participial forms, adverbs, etc., and that's just on the word level. So in other words, we can go a whole lot deeper into the word level, and that's part of what you do in second year Greek. One of the nice discussions that Wallace and Bao and some other people have done is on the article. And there's a whole, 20, 30 pages just on the ha, he, ta that we've translated the in terms of its different usages as well. So a lot of fun places to explore in Greek, and Greek should be fun. And the payoffs are large in terms of coming to deeper understandings of what the Word of God actually means. So the genitive, dative, different types of genitive and datives. When we start reading 1 John, we'll use some of these categories to explore the different nuances there. And our final vocabulary list for the textbook. The first word is aspazomai. And it means I greet. The second word is dekamai, and it means I take or receive. The third word is didaskalos, and it means teacher. The fourth word is eperotao, and it means I ask. The fifth word is theoreo, and it means I look at. The sixth word is lithos, and it means stone. The seventh word is sunago, and it means I gather. The eighth word is toyutas, aute utan, and it means such. The ninth word is huparko, and it means I am or exist. And the tenth and final word is the word kara, and it means joy. And that completes your 28 chapters of New Testament Greek. Congratulations. Kara.